Move on to item four, Madam Clerk.
Item four is our last application for a subdivision of rezoning of the premises located at the southwest corner of Templeton and McGregor Street in the Old Kildonan Ward under file DAS 9 of 2008.
Okay, we have people in favor, a large number in opposition, and some people here for information. Everyone's name will be called out. Everyone will be given the opportunity to speak or just to add to what others have said. Speaking for the applicant first, we have Susan Russell.
Hi.
We have Norm Boyle. Mr. Boyle, are you going to be speaking?
Thanks.
You are going to speak separately? Okay. Robert Brossi. Rob, are you going to speak?
Yep.
Okay, you'll come on next. And Maxine Diamond, are you going to speak? Are you in favor? It says here, you've signed it in favor.
Are you in favor?
They're not.
I didn't put that there.
Somebody is. I know, and you're down in opposition. This is. I don't know. This is two of them. I don't know where it came from. You'll be called out in opposition. Thank you. Okay, Susan.
Thank you. Just to run through a brief history of the project, there was an original application which was for a condominium development, which there was a tremendous amount of opposition for. So the client. So our client went ahead and redid the plan based upon comments that had been received at the previous hearings and conducted another community meeting on February 13th of this year, to which there were 10 people in attendance. Five provided comments, to which we made some other adjustments to the plan, and that is what is before the committee today. There are two options. The whole property, as you all know, is 5.637 acres on an irregular shaped parcel of land, very similar to the last one, on the southwest corner of Templeton Avenue and McGregor Street, so just across the street. The property would include, in both options, 7 single-family residential lots fronting the south side of Templeton Avenue, 12 on a cul-de-sac, fronting on a cul-de-sac with access off McGregor. And then there's two options for the balance of the property. Our client prefers the first one, which is single family off of a fronting road off of McGregor Street. And then the second option is included because the city is more in favor of this, and the city administration is more in favor of it, which is an RM multiple family, RML. Multiple family for the single family dwelling units in a bare land condominium fronting a private road. In essence, they're both the exact same proposal. It's just
how
that
many
one
units
has a
would be on that. That you've got
14,
7 and
exact,
12.
Exact and 14.
And 14.
In both options. So that's the way the plans are right now.
So you're talking about 33
units
single
in total.
Family homes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So even under the condominium one, it is still single family homes, which is what is proposed. As I said before, the client prefers option one. Option two is preferred by city administration. The client prefers option one only because it's easier for him to control and sell single-family lots. It's an obvious thing. And our feeling from the comments at the last set of hearings and at the last meeting with the community was that they preferred the single-family option. The other issues I just wanted to go over just very quickly is the R14 zoning as requested is consistent with the R13.5 zoning to the north, other properties to the north. Also to say that the applicant is going to be doing fencing, a uniform solid wood fence throughout the development, and that we have no problem with the proximity guidelines for the railroad tracks in terms of setbacks and noise attenuation barriers that are required. Another item I just want to bring up, that once we have defined what is required for the turnaround and snow clearing, this item did come up in our public open house. There will probably be a small section at the end here that would be really surplus And then what would happen is that would be further subdivided under a DASSF application, short form subdivision. If the property owners here feel that they would like that property, then that would happen. That's something that the owners committed to do, sell it for a dollar, the adjacent property owners. And then the only concern that we have with the entire report, very similar to the last applicant, is concerning the ACG report, clauses 7 and 8. With regards to number 7...
I'd just like to stop and explain, because of the last hearing and this one, we did have Jerry Anderson, who has since retired of the city's land surveys and real estate, or now PP&D, who said that who sold the land in both cases, and who said he thought they had inflated the price enough for the city to cover such costs. He said that in this room in an earlier hearing.
Yes. And that's why they're objecting. Yeah.
If something's approved, the recommendation here would be that those additional charges not be paid, and that the record would show that that the chairman quoted Mr. Anderson as saying that we'd sold the land for a high enough price to include those charges in the first place.
Exactly, the items 7 and 8 under there.
So we won't dwell on that. We'll dwell on whether or not.
No, that sounds perfect. So, and that's about it for my presentation.
Thank you. And we'll hear from the opposition, and you will be offered the opportunity to some interim. Mr. Boyle? Okay. Mr. Rossi? You may should point out that you are a home builder?
Yes.
Okay. Just because I know that everybody should be on the same footing. Go ahead.
My name is Robert Brosey. I reside at 125 St. Moritz Road, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Basically, I'm in support of this application. I currently work in the area for about 2 or 3 years. I've worked on Arrowhead. I've worked on some infill on Templeton. I'm also working on Swales Avenue.
Your company is?
Odyssey Homes. Basically, my points would be is we add value to the city and its tax base. You're looking at approximately 40 lots times 4,000 combined the city and school taxes. This would be good in the city coffers. The houses that would be built on this property, gauging from similar properties being built in the area, would have a value of $300,000 and up. The condos across the road are running about $250,000, so the singles would be about $300,000 and up. I understand the previous use for the property would have been a road or a road allowance or a four-lane road. This also includes the properties that we're backing onto the Arrowhead Court subdivision. I think a single family would be much better than a roadway. And then finally, this lot would finally be cleaned up. I walked the lot last night with my camera, and I took a bunch of pictures, basically. I'd like to show you.
Supply them to the clerk. Okay. Is this three copies of the same?
No, four copies of the same.
Four copies of the same?
You
can have these for the record. Yeah, you're showing the back of the fences and the lot. I'll pass my copy into the audience.
Basically, I walked along the fence line and took a bunch of pictures showing, you know, should this space be a green space? I mean, would we be a lot, you know, it's not very green at some particular points, and it's very hard for the city to maintain and cut the grass. I feel the development would inherently clean up this area. If you look at the last picture on there, it looks like one person has, you know, taken approximately 30 feet into the public area. And basically, you look at the last picture, unfortunately, the people that are on the north side of Templeton have to look at all this stuff there. There's a bunch of gravel piles, concrete, railroad ties, wood, etc. Having a development there would clean all this up and certainly would improve the view for the people that live on the north side of Templeton. And basically, that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Now hear from the opposition, followed by those who've registered for information. Peter Westchishin.
Peter Washtishin, 91 Ambassador Row. It's interesting, the pictures, in those pictures, Mr. Chairman, you also see a stand of about five old elms. The part that we thought were dying around the time that we moved in, that was in 1980. We have called the city on a number of occasions about trimming those elms. There's one that's now broken through that windstorm we had a couple years ago. We haven't even so much as got a phone call back from forestry. So some of that work that's there, and I'll claim responsibility for one of the little piles of limestone. It's to be spread in my backyard and so on, and add a little bit of soil back there too. It's probably, I also planted grass out for about 20 feet, and I mow it once a week to, so I don't have weeds crawling into my fence. I spoke at the hearing in June last year, and I would just like to just reiterate, I'm not going to go through that whole bit that I filed in June 15th, but this whole thing is fundamentally flawed. Again, I'll remind that the city declared the PR land surplus in camera at some time. The city advertised the sale of 3.8 acres and then his negotiated sale on 5.6 acres, adding the part that was PR zoned and declared surplus. So my read of the City Winnipeg Act, I think, allows the city to do this legally, but I don't think it was in very good spirit of the way that was done. Particularly when one thing was advertised and something else is being sold. So we were in opposition to the development as was proposed last June, and I remain in opposition. Having adjourned that presentation, the developer was advised to consult with the area residents. We did have that open house in February. I was one of the people that did show up. I don't think there was anything much for improvement of design. I agree with Ms. Russell that this is a very odd shape of land. Irrespective of all my comments about the flood, I'm not opposing development per se, as long as it is respects the environment that's been created. We've heard about the traffic. I don't have an issue with traffic and volume and so on, and I have some knowledge of that from my profession, but these seven lots along Templeton Street, seven narrow lots, I think end up with almost one continuous driveway. And there are a number of drives along the Templeton as well, and I think it is somewhat of a hazard backing up and so on. That is what it is. We have a design of seven lots on Templeton. We have one little cul-de-sac of narrow lots that will probably be a continuous driveway there. I don't think there's any room between the approaches. There'll be no curb space left. And then the last space is, again, a number of narrow lots. The more southerly end of that proposal leaves the lots really quite shallow. I don't think that the rear yards will be similar to the rear yards that exist now on Ambassador. Most of those rear yards are in the order of 40 feet. I don't think there's anything like that. The buffer strip that was previously proposed that was shown as PR had a minimum dimension of 30 feet, and for the most part it was in excess of 100 feet. So I just don't think the development that has proposed is consistent with the neighborhood that's there, the neighborhood that's been established in the 70s, the late 70s. And most of us have built and lived there all this time waiting for a little parkland or a preserve to be created. So, in all of that, I say I remain opposed to development as proposed. I think if the city really wanted to, and I wouldn't take away the city's ability to raise more taxes and keep a lid on ours. I think there's room here to do some creative design. I think an odd-shaped piece of land in an infill requires that, and I don't think there's been any effort put in that way.
Okay. We'll adjourn for just a second while he gets some water. Reset, whatever the proper term is. I'm see that one? Was, okay, so here, I'll just put these one at a time as they come through. Okay, Diane. I'm sorry, Diane Cameron.
My name is Diane Cameron, and I reside at 95 Ambassador with my husband Frank and this Kian family. I have not lived in West Kildonan as long as Michael.
You're not as old as
that. That is exactly right. We purchased our lot and built our home in 1979 as our own contractors. When purchasing our lot directly from the developer, we were shown plans of the amenities of the area. One was a school site. Working in the school division where we live, I wanted to ascertain the school situation. I went directly to the superintendent, was told that homes being planned would not support a school. Thus, we never expected a school. We were people who did our homework. We were quite sure of the plan we saw at that time. There was no middleman, the information was not secondhand, but directly from the developer. The plan we were shown had green space dedicated by that developer who worked in conjunction with the city. There was a park directly behind homes on Ambassador, starting about halfway across our lot and running south toward Attaché Place. There was further green going eastward as a buffer strip and then the road allowance. We trusted the city had approved the plan. This was the city's plan, and this green space was the obligation placed on the developer Genstar. This was different from the school situation. It did not depend on who bought the houses. This was at the time that the Sherbrooke-McGregor overpass was still a possibility. We were patient people on the northeast side of Ambassador, and some of us attended a hearing with Mr. O'Shaughnessy when the park site between Attaché and the west side of Ambassador was being developed. At that time, some of us were asking for this small park to consider the needs of the seniors in the newly built high-rise who would also use the area, noting that the area was not heavily populated with children. At that time, Mr. O'Shaughnessy commented on how the Northeast Ambassador Road people were patiently awaiting the development of their park. Now, you've seen some pictures, haven't come to the opposition or the people over there yet, but we kind of know on Ambassador, Peter referred to his little rock pile, we have some other things too, but in 30 years, things collect. We should not have been so patient. Surely if the city had fulfilled its obligations earlier, we would not be in this situation now. It's hard to think that the city would put congested lots on such a space as Attaché Park, yet that is what they are doing to the space originally dedicated as park behind our homes. People have referred to traffic throughout this hearing or these hearings, and yes, there is traffic on Templeton, and it is a drag racing strip that could kind of equal West Portage. Every the weekend nights, you just hear them screaming past. I can't believe what more traffic on there would do with people backing out. But the gentleman who was giving the proposal before said that the people who've been there a long time come forward and they like the things the way they always were. We are not living in the past. We are, however, living in our homes that had caveats and square footage and type of home that could be built. We understand that plans changed because the overpass did not go through. The smaller roadway took somewhat of a different path. Development will still happen. We are asking the city to show us the good faith that we believed was there and develop the property with consideration for the park, an amenity included in our property price yet never developed. It seems that the city is prepared to sell the park space that was dedicated by Genstar to a new developer for lots with no park space. Some creativity must be shown in planning so that the property can be developed in such a way as to make this one neighborhood in style and substance. A park is needed to serve the Arrowhead neighbors across the street as well as the Templeton Ambassador area. Studies have shown that people do not travel far in neighborhoods to play. I have a physical education degree, and I teach school, and I have done some work in playground design. And the Attaché Park that exists at the more southerly part may well not have existed for my children. It was just too far. There are studies done that show that things have to be very, very close. Mr. O'Shaughnessy will know that the next street over from him as a young person growing up, there was a tot lot on the next street. Royal Kid, the people on Royal Avenue really didn't attend that one on Kingsbury. It was out of sight, out of mind. So you have mentioned Chachanov and some other, and the 5-acre park with the soccer fields. Those are really too far away for us to really consider them. And so as attache, it was also too far away and not within the home area. I must note, however, that if out for a bike ride, this and the other two little parks are one way of connecting the area. The Seven Oaks Hearts in Motion Trail goes down the Ambassador sidewalk. It makes sense to have a park here, and I would also commend the city on insisting on sidewalks, because in this day and age, people are too sedentary, and we need to have sidewalks and connecting parks. We need a park that is inviting. We don't count green space surrounded by a fence, as in the previous application, as green space that would do us much good. Last June, Mr. O'Shaughnessy commented on the park is first laid out as a wind tunnel and said that it would be filled with trash and subject to vandalism. I would suggest that this comment might have been offered too hastily. We are not demanding that the park area conform to the initial drawings. We are asking that the park come into being with the same size allotment in a way that adds to the area. It needs to have an entrance and an exit area that is inviting. It needs to be designed with safety and practicality in mind. I've often hoped that it would be a park that would promote fitness, perhaps with small stations throughout. And in our area, we have there is a small park that goes from one street to the other with a fairly narrow entrance, and it doesn't seem to have the problems as considered. This plan proposed today is very, very like the one of a year ago that was turned down. The plan is shown in some places almost front yard to front yard concrete. The lots are long and skinny, which will place limits on design. I would respectfully suggest the design competition be held to creatively solve this problem in a way that would be appealing to the current homeowners in the area and satisfy the need to develop this property or infill. If the developer cannot do this, then another must be found. At this point, the property has been sorely neglected. Once proud trees have been allowed to deteriorate. Is this because the city feels they'll soon be gone? It is time for the city planners and our council member to take pause and live up to the faith that the homeowner showed for the past 30 years as we awaited the development of the park promised. We trust, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, that you will want to finish your time on council, proud of the neighborhoods into which you had input.
Frank, did you want to speak earlier? Frank from Nitsky, also 95 Ambassador.
My name is Frank Kamnitsky. I am Diane's husband, and I prepared a quick three-page handout, and I just wanted to pass it out to the people on the committee. It would keep me on task.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Okay. Here, I'll give you one.
There's also copies that anyone in the audience would wish. Diane has them. Anyone wishes a copy from the audience is welcome to take them. The first page basically deals with what we assumed when we bought the lot. We had a choice for several lots. We chose lot 18 for particular reasons. One of them was the fact that lot 42 on your right-hand side was always designated by the developer as a park. It was no different than lot 34. It was no different than lot 21. It was no different than lot 23. These exist parks now. My question is, we waited and waited patiently. So what happened when my kids were growing up? In order to go to a park, we had to go to the Red Slide Park. It was quite a walk for a little 2 or 3 year old, but we did it. When we wanted to go to the park, we went to the Rubber Slide Park. It was 2 or 3 blocks away, but we did it. The point was that there's a commitment to the young people. Our kids now are grown up, but there are other kids who are directly on the street who right now, because their parents have bought in, hoping that eventually there'll be a park there. And the fact is that when McGregor was first proposed, it was to have the park, a buffer zone, and then McGregor. Of course, the city, in planning this as versus what actually happened, are two different things. So, sadly, behind camera, in other words, in closed doors, Lot 42 is declared surplus behind some method by which a builder, a developer, would look more appealingly to buy this land. So, in other words, green space was declared surplus. Interesting. Going to page 2. And here I look at page 2, and of course this is taken from the present developer wanting to develop the situation the way we see it in the presentation. There was no consultation. There was never a meeting of any of the residences directly affected. Yes, we do. Yes, we went to a meeting, and yes, option 1 and option 2 were presented. The fact of the matter is, if you look closely, it does not preserve the integrity of the adjacent owner's property. If you look closely in option 1, you'll see that the backyards, perhaps a neighbor directly affected, has one backyard neighbor. As you move along from the cul-de-sac to the left or right, you'll see that people on Ambassador Row have to contend with 2 neighbors, have to contend with 3 neighbors, have to contend, yes, even with 4 neighbors. It certainly does not preserve the integrity of the adjacent owners. And who knows as far as option 2 is concerned? I mean, that's a big question mark. My question is, why couldn't there have been some proposal rather than just a blank space there? Moving to option 3, because I honestly think that option 1 and 2 are poor options, not acceptable options. Option number 3 would be a new plan that protects the green space that was always there. That, yes, you could have 2 pods of 2 and 3 homes within that other area still protecting the green space. Why wasn't that thought of? This could be a new exciting area. That green space could be of value to all kinds of area people. Turning the green space into a feature space, I think, would be a unique idea and certainly something that the community could value, and it would be part of the strength of the community rather than, at this point, the reverse. I just have to mention one other thing, too, in regards to some of these pictures. That's directly behind my house. Okay, in the years past, I have grown potatoes there. In the years past, I've grown corn there. What has the city done? They would have just let the crabgrass grow. If the city wants me to remove some of the stuff that's there right now, I certainly, within a few days, would do that. If that would mean that the city would come along and take some ownership behind my yard. But to tell you the truth, that ownership has not happened, and we look forward to a change where there would be an option 3, in other words, a real planning, a real dialogue with the potential developer, and we can maintain that green space if at all possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adam Lavitt, 71 Ambassador.
My name is Adam Lavitt. I live at 71 Ambassador Row. I've been a resident since 1981. I have lived in the Lord Selkirk Garden City community since about 1961. I take exception to the comment that the contractor made earlier in the evening that the city has a great deal of difficulty in cutting the field behind our homes. That is just not true. When I phone them every year to remind them to cut it and speak to the very gracious lady, she informs me they will send a supervisor. the supervisor comes out and confirms that the grass once again has grown. A few weeks later, a man comes with a tractor and he cuts the grass and he has no problem. I find something morally rotten.
Sir, would you please address your comments to me and look at me?
With the contractors sneaking around, photographing the backs of our houses as though we were a B&E expert. Secondly, when we bought our land through Genstar, the plan that Frank showed you on the third page is the plan that we got, and we had four young girls at home at that time. We thought, this is wonderful. They can just go right out the back gate, and there's a big green space there. At that time, there was a family that resided in the field. There were even animals, believe it or not. I remember distinctly a goat and a horse and a cow. Right? And a goose.
The Carpanco yard, yes.
That's correct. And many times we sat and spoke with the gentleman, and the kids played with the animals. Time passed, and he passed away, and the city never came through with the park. They still don't come through with the park. We, as a neighborhood, have tried to maintain a buffer against our fences. The city hasn't held up their end of the bargain. You have to phone them and pester them, and then they'll send the guy out with the tractor and the mower. I see no reason to develop this land at all. It's a real jewel in the neighborhood. If you don't think that traffic is an issue, well, I suggest you come on over. We've got three empty bedrooms now, Counselor. You can see if you can get to sleep on a weekend night with the traffic already on the McGregor Extension and on Templeton. How the people on Templeton survive it, I have no idea. We have paid our taxes. We signed for our lots in good faith, assured that the property would be developed into a park by the city and by Genstar. And now, just because we have grown older and it's 30 years later, the city has decided in its wisdom to possibly grant an application for a development that nobody wants. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Joe Schubert?
I just did a second to say something.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Carolyn? Did you wish to speak? Okay. This is Caroline Schubert of 83 Ambassador Road. It's all fixed.
Thank you. I wasn't going to speak, but I agree totally with my neighbors, the gentleman who's been up here speaking. And the thing is about parks, okay? And one of those pictures with my back, behind my back fence, with the two compost bins, my daughter just cut the grass today. She's the one that cuts behind our place. And I've raised four kids, and they used to play behind there, so we kept it mowed behind our place all the time. So it really looks beautiful if you go there today and take a look. Anyways, you can't have enough park space. Like they said, it's a gem. That area is a gem to us. Maybe we're a little selfish because I'm sure all of us thought someday there'll be something, but when we moved in, we've been there for 27 years, and we were promised this green space. Well, some other people have moved in and bought houses, and I don't know if they were promised it, but the old-timers like us, were promised this green space. And so, since nothing happened with the city, well, we just wouldn't mow it. You know, I planted a few shrubs along the fence there and keep it nice so the grass doesn't grow into the yard. Because otherwise you get this high stuff. But anyways, I was looking at some of these other parks. Now, all my kids, I didn't take them to the other parks much, but I took my grandson there recently to some of these other parks because they got some slides and stuff like this. And I'm looking around, and they're so enclosed. It's all people's backyards with their gates that go into this little park. McGregor is wide open. You know, everybody can use that park in the area. You don't feel like you're going into this a little park that's enclosed, and it's just not the same. I don't know how I can, I'm a gardener and I love parks and I love flowers, and I can see such potential in that area for the whole area. And we've been waiting a long time, like Mr. Levitt said, we've been waiting years. for something beautiful to be put in there and put to use. And we've all, you know, got, now we've got grandkids, right? Well, they're coming home, right? So I'd like to see something worthwhile there. And if you do have to put buildings, okay, in my opinion, if it's going to be, I like that green space idea, like that number three option, okay? But a house equivalent to our houses with back behind us, not three, four families, like boom, 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 in one. Like, I mean, I don't mind having one family behind me. That's great because, I mean, I'm there. I'm one family. But to have three families, to me, it's a little ridiculous. So my first option is green space because there's a lot of people in that area. Now, if they're going to put those condos across from McGregor, and you just saw what those yards look like. I'm sorry. I'm a gardener. Those aren't pretty yards to me. There's a lot of buildings. I see a lot of money being made. I see a lot of tightness in there. I see roads, you know, driveways, your garages and all that stuff, but I don't see beauty. And those people will also benefit by our side of McGregor being green space. Everybody would. I'm sorry. That's fine. Me.
Thank you. Okay. Jason Gard, 59 Ambassador.
Yeah, I agree with everybody.
Okay, thank you, Jason. That name I can't pronounce again. Ron from 55. Your writing's like mine. Maybe you'll have to give us your name when you're up there.
My name is Ron Belyna.
B-Y-L-Y-N-A. B-Y-L-Y?
Yes.
L-Y-N-A. N-A.
55 oh, Ambassador. Yeah. And we've lived there since 1979. One of the reasons that we bought there is because we were promised a green space. And we still have three children, but of course they're grown up. And the city never did come across in those 27 years with a park that they promised. With the taxes we pay, I pay $6,000. With those type of taxes, you would expect something a little bit better, but we're not getting it. And I'm sure I even seen up on a plan that said green space. So if you can't trust your city, how can you trust a contractor that's going to be making all kind of promises of what kind of houses he's going to be putting in there? So I feel that anything that is said or that's going to be promised now, why should it be any different than what the city promised us? Because I have more faith in the city than, say, somebody else saying, oh, we're going to make it beautiful. They're not. But 20 years from now, behind my place, according to this plan, there's going to be two backyards. It could be trash. I don't know what their taxes are going to be, but I'm sure they're not going to be $6,000.
Sir, I could care less what anybody's tax bill is. Let's stick to it. The people who live in a house that pay $4,000 taxes or $2,000 okay. taxes, and the person who pays $6,000 taxes, you know something? There's some pretty crappy yards and pays $6,000
okay,
taxes.
Then it's not
I am
taxes.
Not going to make a judgment based on how much taxes people
okay,
pay,
it's not
and I really
taxes.
Don't like
okay.
listening to it.
Okay, then fine. It's the value of the house.
No, it's the value of the people. And good people aren't rich, and bad people aren't poor,
all right, then we
but
won't
they
say,
can be.
We won't say anything about the value. Let's just talk about the green space that
yeah.
never materialized.
That's fine.
And why didn't it?
Because the city never built McGregor as a four-lane divided highway up against that green space, up against your fence, which was the city's plan from day one. And the only reason it was green space is the curved highway couldn't go in and out against people's fences.
If you look at this here, behind 55 Ambassador,
yep.
there's not much room between 55 and McGregor.
Between 55 and McGregor?
I mean, between 55 Ambassador, the rear,
yeah. Yeah.
and McGregor.
It's a couple of hundred feet.
I don't even think it's a couple of hundred feet.
No.
Masses.
You were going to have about 50 feet of green space, and then there would have been the
okay,
four-lane divided McGregor
on
the original plan.
I will settle for 50 feet of green space.
Except then you can't have a house. You have to have a four-lane divided regional street with a bus.
So
that's what the original plan was.
Okay, then still have a 50-foot green. There should be a green space.
That's fine. Just saying what was there and
sure.
behind Peter's
okay,
house,
but there's
it was
still
going to be 200 feet apart. Behind Diane's house, it was going to be 30 feet apart, and then pavement, four-lane divided.
No,
that was the original plan, and it's
park, right buffer, here. Road.
No, the road, the buffer was the park.
No, park, buffer, road. Alone.
Okay, it's right here on the picture.
So the city still reneged?
Yes, absolutely. The city changed its mind. You're correct. I don't want to argue with people. I don't want to listen to arguments about rich people, poor people, and poor people are worse.
I'm not saying that they're worse. I'm just saying that when you buy a Cadillac, you expect something better than when you're buying a Neon or a little Chevette.
And sometimes you get it. Sometimes you get a lemon.
I think you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Karen Hansen.
Again, I didn't have anything prepared. I wasn't planning on speaking. But I agree with all of the people that have come out to speak tonight in opposition to the proposal on both sides of McGregor. The congestion on Templeton is terrible. The traffic, the noise, it's awful. And I do want to say that when Arrowwood Bay came up, the signage was not appropriate. If it were, I would have been here in opposition. My immediate next-door neighbor saw a small sign posted on a tree between 551 Templeton and the Mac store. That's the only reason she knew that that whole area was coming up. And so she attended. Had I known, I would have attended and opposed as well. It just, the signage was awful. It wasn't as widely known as the current two projects. So that's why I'm here today and I wasn't here
We've just
before.
Changed our laws to
I
make for bigger
I understand that,
signs.
But
yeah.
You said it wasn't that way, but there was no opposition, and I would like to correct the record. My immediate next-door neighbor and husband did attend and opposed, and I would have as well if there were proper signage. The Arrowwood Bay that has developed beside my house has just made for so much more traffic and so much more noise. And I've seen what PVC builders have done. I understand they built a lot of the homes there, if not all. The homes are squished together like little lunch boxes. They're this close. Some of those homes are nice, but they're this close to each other. It's outrageous. It's just not acceptable. We bought into an area, and we should have the same type of accommodation that we bought into 20, 30 years ago. This just isn't fair.
And the reality, and I don't want to get debate though, is there are no more 50-foot lots, except in the gravel street parts of Charleswood. 50-foot lots are a thing of the past. They're 40
okay,
and 42
one
now.
But I have one house.
Lindenwoods, Amber Trails, wherever. That's what they are now.
I have
in Winnipeg.
One house. I shouldn't have five homes alongside of the length of my yard. It was so quiet when I bought that house 20 years ago. I've got this whole bay of houses, the whole one side right along it. It's just not fair. It's not right. And that's what Odyssey Homes do for me.
Thank you. Clint Cerbeni again? Okay. Matthew? Recovery? Ooh, I got Clint twice. I got double.
This is a double.
Okay. Virginia Peter?
He had to leave.
Yeah, I know that. So he had spoken on the other one there from 23 Samantha. I said Peter. Yeah.
Peter's my husband.
Oh, so he left and you didn't leave. Okay. His name was easier to pronounce for me, so I said it first. It's in a 23 Samantha. Okay.
I just would like to say that I agree with everything that Diane and her husband proposed and everybody else. This new plan, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, you said the rent counselor where the driveway were going to Templeton.
Baltimore.
Now it looks like this new plan, either proposal, has houses along Templeton and the driveways were go to Templeton, which is wrong. And I'm still speaking for the buffer zone. I really would like them to consider what Diane proposed and what was supposed to be here, the park. And I agree with what previous people said, and I hope we keep our area green. If there is proposal to develop, fine, but those two plans are out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. John Druniak, 15 Attaché.
The name is Jan Druniak and Drevniak, and I live at 15 Attaché Place. Everything that was said before, I'm fully in support. The only people, I'm in opposition. In support, the only people I've had in support were the people, previous group that spoke, which is the developer, the real estate agent, and the person that was hired by the group. So the community spoke against it, but people that have vested interest in investing in it were for it. So the plan went for the people that invest the money in the area. The reason I am in opposition, the plan number two, proposal number two, it's a big question mark. It doesn't outline anything. It shows just big white piece of paper other than multiple family development. And that can be the high-rise building, it can be practically anything. The single-family development, it's more appropriate, but the multiple family development is strongly against. And like everybody else before, the green zone or green place, green space, is very important for us. For us, for neighbors, for children, for people to exercise, although we have a short summers, but we still use it and utilize it very often. The density of the proposed development, I understand that other areas, they have narrower lots, 40 feet, 45 feet, 30-some feet, some areas. Nothing wrong with that. But in order to preserve the value of the area, we should at least consider it maybe lesser density, still make it vital and viable and profitable, because basically what it's all about, it's about the profit for the developer. They will not invest money, they are to lose money. So they have to make money. So if somehow it can be worked with the community and with the city planners and still preserve some of the green spaces, it will be very nice. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Maxine? And Mary Tuesday? No, not to speak. Is there anyone I've missed?
No.
Do you feel okay?
I can feel okay. I just got one question.
Okay, I'm not hearing.
Are these homes supposed to be two-story or one-story?
City's regulations, the city doesn't say how many square feet, the city doesn't say how many stories, but they would be limited to a maximum of two stories with a normal roof. They would be no.
But empty nesters, they're not going to buy a two-story.
You have to come forward if you want to make arguments there. She hasn't filled out a form. She'll fill it out afterward. Give us your name and address first.
Judith Levitt. I live at 71 Ambassador. My husband spoke earlier.
We can just change Adam to Ann Judith then, and that way you'll be able to save time. He was one of the first
My
speakers.
Biggest concern is that on the one side of McGregor, got two-story homes, and someone mentioned there's going to be empty nesters going in there. I don't believe so. Because when you're giving up a big home and you're aging, you're not going to want the stairs. Okay?
Sold mine. Moved into a condo.
Okay, but it's not a two-story condo, I'm sure.
No, but I said, I did. I agree with you.
Okay. So, I feel that if you're talking about empty nesters, and a lot of people on Ambassador are getting to the stage where your homes are big, but you don't want to sell because you don't know where to go, two-story homes are not going to fit the bill, no matter if the lots are small or big. Or
what would you care if a story, house is a bungalow or a two-story? Ambassador's up and down with one-story, two-story.
Well, that's it exactly. I'm trying to find out. I've got two plans here. Not one place does it mention what kind of homes are we voting for.
I would bet they would all be two-story. But I couldn't guarantee
it. But that's
the typical development because people build over the attached garage now.
On the other side of McGregor, they came up with the pictures of suggested homes. Maybe they won't be exactly like that, but you've got an idea. On our side, all it shows is narrow lots, and they said they're single-family homes. You haven't got a clue what it is.
This developer, if it goes ahead, would sell to house builders such as Mr. Brozzi, to a variety of house builders. This person is a land developer, not a house builder. He's more like Jan Starr on a smaller scale. So he wouldn't know what the houses would be other than that they would be bungalows or two stories as per the city's bylaws.
Well, till this point in time, nobody knew that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Maxine, had you changed your mind? Did you want to? Okay. Oh, okay. Good. Ms. Russell, you may answer points made up by those in opposition, as long as you don't add anything new.
Okay, I'm just going to start from the top, because that's the way I wrote them down. I might be repeating myself, so I do apologize. The narrow lots...
I'm sorry, I've missed a whole section of names here that are signed for information. Oh. They may want to speak, so we'll... I'm sorry. Judy Shields? No, okay. Paul, is it Trochanowski? Paul? From 19 Attaché?
He left.
Okay. Helen and Walter Kucha? You're fine? Okay. Yeah. You have questions? You'll have to come forward. I have to apologize. I didn't remember you until I just saw your husband from right across Templeton there. You've been there a long time.
Yeah. Colin Kuchak from 509 Templeton. We also did not receive any information about this development from anybody. The only information I got was from the signs posted and from my phone, Michael Robinson. He gave me some information, but we didn't get anything in the mail or deliver it to our door. And I think I was told that some of the homes will be, you will own the home and the property, and some you will just own the home, the condo. Is that right? No? You'll be owning
the application now. We'll be ruling on is for 100% single family detached, not attached to anything, houses owned by whoever has them built for them.
So you own
the
house and that property.
Same as
yeah.
Okay. Single family normal street houses.
Just
the lots won't be as wide. They'd be 40, 42 feet, whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing under 40 because the zoning they're asking for is R14.
So that's like 4,000 square feet for.
That's the minimum. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not against building nice, beautiful homes, but the increased traffic. And since you're going to have increased traffic, and somebody might say, "Why are you saying this?" If they're going to have more people living there, could they increase the bus service, say from McGregor and Leela down McGregor to Templeton? Because not everybody has a car. I don't have a car to walk in the wintertime to Templeton and Salter or McGregor and Leela. It's very far. And I know that's sort of a different issue, but I would like to see a bus increased. You know, it's not going to make that much more traffic than cars. And this way you're providing service to the people who are, as we're getting older, we don't all drive when we're older, and some of us don't drive even when we're younger. You know, so I think they should have increased bus service. you know, at least if you know, if there's a demand for it, or you know, to Templeton, down McGregor to Templeton or down. I understand there was a, the city wanted to increase 77 bus service down Templeton as far as Sinclair, and there was opposition against that. We'd like to increase it from Salter and Templeton to Salter and Sinclair, but I've moved back home 9 years ago, and I don't remember anybody ever coming to our house on where I live asking us if we wanted the bus, number 77 bus service increased on Templeton. Nobody came to our house. So, and they said a lot of people.
Tell you one thing, they didn't come to the council either, because I've never heard it.
Well, somebody told me, I won't say who, that they approached the city, or city council, and they knocked it down. So I don't know if he just gave me a story or what.
Okay, I don't know.
But I would like to see an increased bus service. Again, the 77 bus doesn't run that often, maybe once every hour. But that would be so much more of a, maybe, of a help for people who don't, you know, drive. And like I said, as you get older, you don't want to drive. You know, you either just hop on a bus and go to Garden City or wherever, or anywhere. So I would say, if you're going to have more increased traffic, put a bus down there too.
Okay.
You know, better than a horse and buggy. Okay. And that's all the information or and questions I have at this time.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Russell.
Good now, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm just, as I said before, I'm just going to go through it in the order that information or questions came up. The first comment was about the seven narrow lots on Templeton. That came up again with concerns with regards to traffic on Templeton. And I think this was stated best in the previous application, that the Templeton is a major collector with drivers already. It's what we have now, and seven additional is not going to add significantly to any traffic on Templeton. A 60-foot driveway is a standard. These lots on Templeton, there are five that are 40 feet. The others are much wider than that, so there's going to be at least 24 feet of green space in between those. It's not going to be solid concrete pavement with everybody paving their entire front lawn along there, so I wouldn't worry about that. The south end rear yards being shallow, what we have endeavored to do in this plan and have made multiple adjustments to do this as best possible, while keeping in mind we've got to continue to develop some kind of a density that makes this sustainable and achievable. But we've got the lots as long as possible to make as deep as possible to maintain a setback of at least 30 feet. We tried very hard to respect that setback of 30 feet, and there's very few lots that will not be able to achieve that. The comments with regards to one neighborhood and the style and substance of the existing neighborhood, I know nobody really cares about value of the homes, but I will say it for the benefit of people who have mentioned it multiple times, that the idea is that these homes will be valued in excess of $300,000, and they will be a combination, depending upon the builder, as you had stated, would be both single family, will be single family, and they will be either single story or cab over or two story. The long and skinny lots, that was a concern as well. They are, as you had stated as well, that tends to be the norm these days in all the new developments. You're looking at 40 and 42-foot wide lot. We're not doing anything atypical in the much larger, in the more well-to-do areas, I guess we could say. And it will not restrict development of appropriate homes for the area. Density was an issue as well, is what is required to make this infill viable, and it's not ridiculous density in that it's actually less than what has been approved elsewhere in this neighborhood. It's lower density than Arrowhead. And again, many of the shorter lots are wider width to ensure a longer rear yard so that the house can be made wider and shallower so that we can ensure that we've got the setbacks required. There was also some concerns with regards to noise from the houses and new neighbors and that kind of thing, but no real issues with regards to the traffic on McGregor, which had been brought up in some others, and a row of houses. with fencing and landscaping will cut down on traffic noises very well. There was another issue with regards to the issue with regards to the park versus PR. I did speak to the city parks department just so that I could get a handle on this myself. Don't often believe what everybody tells me, and my understanding from what I was told was, yes, that buffer was zoned PR, but that PR is public reserve, and the intent was for it to be a buffer zone for the future McGregor thoroughfare. They never intended to develop it as a park, that's what I'm told. I, again, wasn't around when that happened. That what it was intended for was for berms and trees when that final four-lane-wide divided highway went in. And when that four-lane-wide divided highway went in, the Parks Department declared that PR as surplus. And that's what I was told. I don't know, wasn't involved in the very beginning, so I can't speak to that, but that's what I was told in terms of the PR was public reserve, not park. What else do I have here? Templeton, again, traffic, as stated previously, it's a major collector with driveways currently on it, and several not add substantially. No more 50-foot lots. Most of them are 40 to 42-foot lots. We have to remember that this is infill housing on leftover land from a regional street. And it's an odd shape, and there is a density requirement that we have to meet in order to make it viable. The RML, there's concern about the RML. That is condo, but in the actual report, just to appease everyone, in the actual report under option two, it says that in that RML, we are restricted to 14 single-family dwelling units in a bare land condominium fronting on a private road.
I have no intention of approving a condominium.
Okay. All right. Well, that is the... but just in case they were concerned about it.
Yeah. It was just a way for the city to approve what would be a substandard road instead of a 24-foot pavement, and it's just bureaucracy. It's
yes,
nothing to do with what would be built.
No, you're right. Exactly right.
There are single-family lots and still build to that if the city said you could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then the concern with regards to the size of the homes, I think I addressed that. Variety of home builders. And everyone will own their home, and it depends upon which option with regards to this. And I think that's all the comments. Thank you. Thanks.
That concludes the presentation. Councillor Pike-McCann, would you take the chair? So